Hey, welcome to Sky Comish Community Church one more time. Today, the day that I'm actually preaching this is Saturday, June 13th. Tomorrow, June 14th. Maybe you'll be listening. Maybe you'll wait until later. But I know that God is good and His Word is true. I love how He puts things together in His timing. And the passage that I was getting to this week was exactly what needed to be said this week in this environment, in this stage of the world that we're living in right now. So thank you, God, for your goodness and even arranging when we speak what parts of your word. Welcome to Sky Comish Community Church. We're a word-preaching, people-loving community. We have thoroughly been enjoying Kathy and I almost the last 9 years now. We're getting close to 9-year anniversary of having come to Sky Comish. And the people just are getting more dear to our hearts as we hang out with them and get to know them better. And the word is always precious. And the more time I spend in God's word, the better off my head is. And I can renew my mind appropriately and rightly divide the word of truth and then allow Christ to shine on me. And I can reflect His goodness and His glory to the world around me. That's always my prayer and hope, and too often I think I create cloudiness around me and block some of Holy Spirit's glory, but it's not necessary to do that. I know that He wants to shine on us brighter and through us more. As we continue with announcements, basically all gatherings are still on hold. Nothing has changed in King County here in Washington State in the last week as far as the stage, the phase of reopening that we're in. We're still in a modified phase one, and that does mean we get to meet together as a church outside in the rain every week. It's been beautiful. God is just, He reigns on the just and the unjust, and sometimes we're both. So we are looking to have more and more opportunities to be together with God's people in a physical way, but we can have unity in the Spirit even if we're not physically in the same room gathering together. Vacation Bible School still might happen. We're hoping for August 17th to 20th or 17th to 21st. It'll either be a 4 or 5 day shortened time. It would be like from 10 to 11:30, so not quite as long each day, and as much time as possible spent outdoors during that time. Masks for those that can handle it, and just a good time in God's Word and with God's people, and trying to train up individuals in the way that they should go so that as they get older, they won't depart from God's truth. If you're interested in sending an offering to Sky Comish Community Church, it can be mailed to P.O. Box 56, Sky Comish, Washington, 98288, or you can click on the donate button on the website and send a donation through PayPal. As we're planning ahead, I've already mentioned a little bit, but the church building is starting to look like it's ready for some social distancing as we gather, and I think we'll be able to get a good amount of people in here. I can envision 35 people in here quite easily. If we get more than that, we'll find a way to make it work and make sure that those that are vulnerable are protected properly. So looking forward to that. There's more information in the notes and announcements if you'd like to look at that. There's also some pictures that show what's going on in the building right now. We're preparing the pews for social distancing in anticipation of phase two reopening. When we do get to phase two, we can have 25% of occupancy in the building, and I think for our purposes that's going to work pretty well. There's something new that I'm adding to the announcements. Village Missions is asking for donation items for an auction this year to help offset some of the fundraising events that have had to be canceled due to the coronavirus pandemic. And if you've got something, it could be an item that you handmade, or it could be something that you acquired, something that says Sky Comish would be really cool. So if we could put some things together that could go into their auction. They're going to do a lot of that online, it looked like, and I think they've got it set up pretty well. So if you plan on doing that, you're interested in helping, contact Tim Griffith 800-617-9905, extension 116. That would be the Village Missions headquarters down in Dallas, Oregon. And some of the fundraiser things that they normally would do, they haven't been able to do this year because of the COVID-19 stay-home orders that have taken place in the state of Oregon as well as here in Washington. Our prayer spotlight this week is J.D. and Katie Milton. They're in Buskirk, New York. It's West Hoosick Baptist Church is the name of their church. It's located about 30 miles northeast of Albany, New York, right on the Vermont border. If you've ever been back there, upstate New York is just gorgeous. Vermont's beautiful, and it's just kind of a beautiful area that they've been located in. Their little church is often forgotten on the back roads outside of their community. Once a bustling river town with several factories, Hoosick now suffers lasting effects from those now closed factories that dumped chemical waste into the rivers and has contaminated the water supply with harmful PFOA. The farms that dot the countryside used to be thriving chicken and dairy farms, but very few are still in working order. Some folks work for small businesses in town, but a vast majority commute to the city for work or are enjoying retirement. So be in prayer for the West Hoosick Baptist Church with J.D. and Katie Milton. Today's passage, as we prepare to open God's Word, it's going to be in Ephesians again. Surprise, surprise. And Ephesians chapter 5, we're looking at verse 14 today. The title of the sermon is, Wake Up. Thank you, Jesus, that you revealed yourself by living a perfect life here on earth. You've revealed yourself through nature. You've revealed yourself in your Word. And we're so grateful that we get the opportunity to open your Word, to know your heart better, and give us wisdom as to how to apply the principles of your Word to our hearts and to our lives and to our minds as we try to navigate this broken and dark world that we're presently living in. Amen. Ephesians 5:14. This is why it is said, Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Of course, when a verse starts out, this is why it is said, you're probably wondering, well, what's the this? And that goes back to the verse before that. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said. So, because if everything that's exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light, Jesus is saying, wake up. Sleeping Christians, rise from the dead. Through Paul, he's doing this. Now, it almost looks like when you look at that it would have been a quotation from a verse, and we can't find the exact verse that it was quoted from because it probably wasn't. It's more likely a hymn, and I think some of the times when we learn Scripture, it's just a little bit different wording. It's actually oftentimes scriptural principles put into song, and then we learn how to remember God's principles by remembering song words, lyrics in our head. And so this was probably a popular song at the time that had part of it was, Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I think one of the closer passages that you'll find for that would be Isaiah 60, verse 1. There's also other passages in Isaiah that follow this theme, but Isaiah 60, verse 1 says, Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Then it continues on in verses 2 and 3. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. There's so much in Scripture that's continually pointing us back to, if you want to shine the light of Jesus, if you want to demonstrate Christ's light, the best way to do that is to just let God shine on you, and then you'll reflect His goodness and His glory. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. That goes with the Ephesians passage. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is why it is said that, and we talked last week a lot about just being a reflection of Christ as He shines on us. Be the moon that shows the light of the sun. Be the element that reflects God's goodness and His glory to everyone around you. There's some other passages in Scripture. I'm going to narrow it down to just one, though. 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be looking at chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 is what led me to this section. It's pretty beautiful verse. I'm going to put it in context and cover the verses prior to that and the ones after it as well. But when we think about waking up and being alive and shining God's goodness and His glory to the world around us, not being dead Christians, not being sleeping Christians even, but being followers of the way that are demonstrating and reflecting the light of Jesus Christ. I look at 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and it says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." We can actually display God's glory because Christ is shining His light in our hearts. And it's one thing to just have light reflect off of the surface of you and look good on the outside and demonstrate God's light from your outward appearance, but Scripture's real clear about, you know, really what we speak comes from our heart. What we do comes from our heart. All of the ways that we act, it comes from our heart. And the only way our heart can be purified and cleansed properly is if we confess our sins. Jesus Christ is so faithful. He's so good, and He'll forgive us our sins. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as He purifies and cleanses us, He makes our hearts to shine. And then out of that, we can shine and illuminate the glory of God displayed in the face of Christ. It's just, it's a beautiful thing. Now, putting that in context, I'm going to go back to, I'd love to do all of 2 Corinthians because it really keeps on tying back. Every time I try to put something in context, I realize, yeah, but the verses before this are really good too. So I'm going to stop though at chapter 4 and verse 1. And so that's, I'm not going to go back further than that. I'll begin in chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4, 1. "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry..." Now, Paul and his other associates were writing to the church in Corinth, and they're saying, "We have this ministry. We do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways." And we keep talking about everything needs to be illuminated. Everything needs to be shown in the light. Whatever is exposed by the light, it's going to be no longer darkness. Well, this is what Paul is saying has happened, is that they're not trying to hide anything as they minister. This is something that's very transparent and open. They've renounced secret and shameful ways. And I think before I continue on, I can't help but draw that into what's going on in America and throughout the world right now, where a lot of shameful and secret things have been holding back nations. A lot of secret and shameful things have been holding back individuals within nations to keep them from being the best that they can be. And as things get exposed, as we see video, because everybody's got a camera now a phone with a camera, and everybody's able to take video. When we see video of things that are awful and shameful, it sheds light on that. We've got to remember that since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we've got to recognize that Paul wasn't in the ministry of, "I'm going to shed light on everybody's sin and I'm going to shame them and make them feel terrible." It was all about, wow, I better look at my own heart. I better look at my own secret and shameful and sinful ways. I better allow Christ to shine through me in a clear and pure way so that those around me can recognize that, yeah, you know what, Paul? I know that guy because he tells his testimony. He said he was ready to kill more Christians. He'd already killed some, and he wanted to kill some more, and he's a really bad person. And God, in his mercy, gave him a ministry to actually help people. And so he comes into this very humbly and recognizing that you know, there's no reason to try to hide God's goodness. There's no reason to try to hide God's mercy and his glory and his ability to take broken, sinful, terrible people and make them right. And I think in the world, we have this tendency to want to say, wow, that person's terrible. He never gets another chance. She's going to be fired because of what she said or did. He's going to have to lose his pension. And we want to have punishment on anybody that we see doing something that they shouldn't have been doing. And the reality is that every one of us has sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Every one of us is guilty of something worthy of death. And then God shows his mercy and he sends his son. And so that's the ministry that Paul and his associates get to share together. They don't do it in secret. They don't do it because they've renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. They weren't even trying to hide their own sins. They were recognizing, yeah, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus is the Savior. And I think when we look at what's going on in the world, we've got to have hearts that say, wow, I don't like what I'm seeing. I sure hope Jesus can be their Savior too. He took my broken heart. There's other people around us that we know in our own hearts, in our own minds, they're not deserving of God's goodness. And yet, and he's saying, even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. And that's the sad part. This is something that he's not saying, wow, this is great. We can hide the gospel. No, he's saying this is a terrible, terrible thing. And he's going to even point out who's hiding and who's helping hide God's goodness and his glory and his mercy and his grace and his gospel. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. He's pointing out, you know, the enemy, the devil, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers. And it's like, if we can, as Christians, renew our minds, we can demonstrate to the world around us that their minds could also be renewed. Not because we're better than them, but because we've been able to experience God's mercy and grace. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, shown in the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Now Paul's just, he's pointing out again, everybody needs the light of God. Some people can't see it because the enemy is trying to blind their minds and keep them from seeing it. And yet God is powerful and gracious and merciful, and his light can shine through us. His light can shine into the hearts of broken and dark people, men and women. His light can shine in their hearts and display the face of Christ to their hearts so that they can have the full knowledge of God's glory and they can demonstrate to the world that there is a Savior who fixes the broken. Continuing on, Paul says, but we have this treasure, this special treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. He's saying, we're so broken. We're just broken jars of clay. We're something that's going to eventually be thrown on the junk heap if it's all for us. But Jesus is powerful. And it's because of his power and his goodness and his grace, the glory of God can shine forth. The power of God is what demonstrates God's goodness. It's not us. It's nothing that we can do. We're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. The Savior stays with us no matter what kind of troubles and problems we go through. We might get struck down, but we'll never be destroyed. Because the mercy of God allows us to shine His light. As He shines it into our heart, we get to reflect that to the world around us. And that's why the text this week says, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Let's close. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are the brightest of all bright lights, that you are the maker of lights. You are the light, light of the world. You stepped down into darkness and you showed your light to the disciples. And they were about as dim as we are sometimes, Lord, and yet you kept on bringing them to the truth. And then Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost and shined brightly. And the church was born. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that this kingdom will grow, that in this broken and dark world that we live in, we as followers of the way, we as fellow heirs of the kingdom of God will learn to, in unity, shine your light. I pray that we won't come to the world with judgment or meanness or anger or self-righteousness or any of the things that we're so prone to, but that we can come to the world with your mercy, with your grace, with your goodness, with your gentle spirit, with your love, and show that you are the one and only maker, creator, redeemer, King of kings. And now to him, to Jesus, the one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Lord God, I ask that you increase our imagination and then show us that that's still not even enough to match your greatness. According to his power that is at work within us, keep working in us, Lord. Don't ever stop. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever, until we get to meet in heaven at that great banquet table with every kingdom, in the kingdom with every tribe and tongue and nation, with everybody that you have called, Lord Jesus. I pray that we can just have a wonderful time together, not worrying about social distancing or masks or anything else, but we can just jump and praise and sing and dance your glory, your goodness, forever and ever. Amen.